Here's a sign of the subtle diplomacy we can expect from a President Donald Trump. Listen carefully.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
Donald Trump's Bromansky, Hello Moskva, and Putin, a direct appeal to the Russians to nail down some secret emails for him to use against Hillary Clinton. Now, that might have got him arrested if this was the Cold War 1960s, but thoroughly modern Trump looks at Russia very differently than most Americans, perhaps. Is the Kremlin's influence in the 2016 election something other than a Le Carré secret spy conspiracy? DNC email leaks were reportedly the result of Russian state-sponsored hackers. No one is denying that, by the way. Donald Trump has business ties with Russia. Trump's campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, is still connected with Russia after working with the ousted pro-Russian Ukrainian president, Viktor Yanukovych. For a translation of what's going on here, we're joined by, I like to think of him as America's intellectual oligarch himself, Gary Steingart. He spent the early years of his life in Leningrad during the height of the Soviet Union in the early 70s, the author of highly acclaimed books like Absurdistan, Super Sad True Love Story, and most recently of Little Failure. Gary, what was your reaction to Donald Trump reaching out to Vladimir Putin?
Well, you know, it actually makes perfect sense. I think Donald Trump and Russia circa 2016 are good buddies. They make perfect sense in the sense that they're binded by racism, anti-Semitism, all these different things. They're both railing against political correctness. Things like Trump's birtherism are right up Russia's worldview. How can a black person run a major country? Stuff like that. The pile of money with a Star of David on it that Trump retweeted also could easily have been a Russian tweet. So for me, this is actually a very obvious alliance and a scary one, of course.
But there's also a quality here. I mean, you know, Democrats were outraged. Oh, my gosh. He's, you know, as though this was the era of the Cold War. And it's not. There's a huge intermixing of business people, expats, Russians in the United States and Russians back home who can't figure out if we're allies or adversaries, the U.S. and Russia. And the idea of influencing elections or politics is not that crazy for Russians to think about, yes?
Well, the thing is, you know, are we allies or are we adversaries? Of course, I wish that we had been allies at this point. That was everyone's dream after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But frankly, we are adversaries. There's no question that our interests are completely at odds on very many things. And when I mentioned, you know, racism, political correctness, there's a part of that as well. Our worldviews are just so different at this point. And Trump's actually, as I said before, is much closer to Putin's than he is to the majority of Americans, especially non-white Americans. And so there's a kind of very unholy alliance being built. And the only example I can think of in terms of world politics of something like this is when Berlusconi, the Italian leader, and Putin began their bromance quite a while ago. You know, we can only look at what happened to Italy after the many years of Berlusconi's regime and wonder if that's what's at store for us here.
Is there a constituency in the United States of Russian nationals who would prefer a Trump presidency? And in the same way that Israelis often express a preference to having one president over another because of national security issues, that, you know, this is much more above board than we might like to think?
Oh, of course, of course. I mean, so many ex-Soviet Jews in America are huge Trump supporters. There's a very large constituency that thinks Trump is strong, that's used to believing that strength is the most important quality you can have in a leader and that everything else is just nonsense. You know, I remember a Thanksgiving that my parents had a while ago, maybe the first year of Obama's administration, and some Russian relative, I can't remember who it was, said, "I think Obama should be president, but of African country. This is a white country." And that exact kind of sentiment, I think, has echoed over the last 8 years. And Trump is seen as a savior, as somebody who will put an end to all that, which is really frightening for me, but I think absolutely true.
But, you know, this is what's so amazing. Ann Applebaum of The Washington Post on our program earlier this week said when she heard the reports of the leak coming from WikiLeaks that might have been orchestrated by the Russians, she said, oh, sure, this is exactly what they do in Ukraine to manipulate elections all over Europe. She said it's straight out of the Putin playbook. Yes. And I asked her, so, you know, are there Russian business people who have leverage over Trump? And she said, oh, sure. Oh, absolutely sure. Do you believe that?
I could believe that. I don't have evidence to the pro or con on that, so I can't say that I would know for sure, but of course I would believe that. Listen, Putin knows exactly what he's doing. That's what's so amazing is you look at what happened in Ukraine, you look at what's happening to Western political parties, you look at Brexit. All these things are going exactly as the Russians would hope for and possibly have planned for. This is what's so interesting is that Trump brings evil and ignorance to the table. But Putin just brings evil. He's not ignorant. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's very clear who would be dominant in a relationship like that if there was at one point a Trump-Putin axis. You know, it's very clear who would be the Hitler, who would be the Mussolini in that one.
I'll take evil, hold the ignorance. That gives you Putin.
That's right.
Okay, yes. Thanks for that. That's a good cheat sheet. Finally, why does it seem that Americans, perhaps generally speaking, and Trump supporters generally speaking, are not outraged by this overture to Russia, that there's something about, oh, blah, 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 fine?
Yeah, because I think people, a lot of people in the Republican Party, and this has been the case for a while, really do look up to Putin. They see nothing but unbridled strength. He wants Crimea, he'll take Crimea. He wants the Eastern Ukraine, he'll take the Eastern Ukraine. He doesn't care what anyone says about him. He doesn't care. Again, I'll bring up that term political correctness because it's one that they keep repeating. So having Putin and Trump together, it's like having two of the worst bullies in your elementary school take over the class, you know, while the substitute teacher goes to the bathroom. There's no rule of law. And that's somehow appealing. Of course, if you're a small, weak kid, you're done for because there's no one to protect you. But that kind of formulation, these two giant bullies striding across the globe, is something I think very appealing to a lot of people in today's GOP. And that's very unexpected. I mean, who would have thought that they would have turned to one of our adversaries with such clamor? But again, I think ideologically and emotionally, the connection between many right-wing people in America and Putin is just very, very strong.
There you have it. Gary Steingart possibly working on some of the great lines for his next book, writer most recently of Little Failure and Super Sad True Love Story, also Absurdistan. Gary Steingart, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Nicholas from Louisville, Kentucky. I think it's pretty horribly irresponsible and hypocritical for Trump to reach out to Russian hackers the way he did. I'm sure he'll pass it off as a joke, but at this point the damage is done and the request is out there. So that scares me that a potential president of the United States would act in this way.
That's Nicholas using the Anchor app to reach out to us. Download Anchor in your app store and search for The Takeaway. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.